Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 2. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, that you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' and whether they hear or refuse me, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated, by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, 'Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from it. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, then when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to
you, Christ. Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's July 4th. Independence Day. And I'm an absolute sap for things red, white, and blue. The hat comes off and over the heart to the national anthem. USA, USA. It's just the greatest chant. It's made all the more so by its cultured despisers. What other nation has two great musicals about its founder? 1776 and Hamilton. Almost any portrayal of George Washington can bring me to tears. Cubs, Rick Monday belongs in the Hall of Fame. It's not a big secret that such overt patriotism tends to place one on one side of a seemingly growing cultural divide. I say cultural because I don't think it's fully political. In the United States, there seem to be people from somewhere, people from anywhere. The somewheres have an over-patriotism that comes from the gods. The anywheres can be patriots, but it comes from the head. And as with everything that comes from the head, it comes with caveats. It's captured perfectly in the old Red Dawn movie. The anywhere character asks, "What's the difference between us and them?" And the somewhere character replies, "Because we live here." Of course, that remark is erased in the remake. There aren't that many somewheres left in Hollywood, unless the somewhere is from China. But that answer either makes complete sense or it makes no sense at all. That cultural divide also affects the church and the pulpit. For a long while, at least, the American church's ministerium has tended to be from anywhere. The from somewheres and pulpits have tended to be from churches where you woke up one day and felt the call. The somewheres have been what the seminary systems have tended to screen out. You might come from somewhere when you enter a seminary, but if you don't effectively mirror back the anywhere, questions about your fitness for ministry would crop up. The past week, at least pastorally, has been a nonstop barrage of reinforcement of the view from anywhere by the people that you're supposed to listen to. Now, the anywheres in that system have some viable worries. If you look at the Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, they call it autocephalous, self-headed. Each nation has its own church, which unsurprisingly in that history tends to become very deeply embedded in the nation's politics. The Western experience also has its state churches, which the anywhere argument starts with those state churches being promoters of lukewarm faith to outright heresy. All of this culminated in the American experience of most denominations having southern and northern branches stemming from the Civil War and its justifications. I don't think the Bible gives us clear answers in the somewhere versus anywhere divide. Although I do think that our gospel text gives us a principle that neither side would fully be comfortable. But before we dig into that text, I want to import my biggest reason for saying this. It comes from John's vision in Revelation. John sees the host of saints arrayed in white. And he notices that they come from every tribe, nation, race, and language. Think about that for a second. In the Anywheres column, the eschatological people are all in the same place and clothed in white. But in the Somewheres column, the eschatological people are recognizable by tribe, nation, race, and language. Unlike U2's desire for when all the colors bleed into one, these things are still visible in the eschaton. Now, you could say they're visible in the same way that the wounds of Christ are visible. They've been transfigured into glory. But even transfigured, that would mean the marks of somewhere have an eternal purpose. The parallel to this is the fact that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. Salvation comes from the Jews. The eschatological city is the new Jerusalem. Gentiles have been grafted in to the people of Israel. If you want to get real theological, it's called the scandal of particularity. When God tries to address all of humanity, what you get is the flood. The multiplicity of languages comes from God addressing all of humanity at that. The gospel comes from when God chooses Abraham. All nations on earth will be blessed through you. You can hear the Anywheres complaint that this is a scandal. Yet somewhere is important. Israel is important. And God does not abandon the nation, but he desires to bless them through Abraham. So, how does our gospel text help us think about this? First, Jesus is from somewhere. Jesus had a hometown, Nazareth in Galilee. It's a hometown that marks out his entire ministry. A Judean like Nathanael would ask, can anything good come from Nazareth? And told by Philip that they found the Messiah. Peter is recognized as a disciple of Jesus because he is a Galilean. And then he goes about denying both Jesus and his nationality in his shameful moment. Jesus had a hometown that he never repudes. In fact, in Matthew, he tells the disciples to go back to Galilee because after the resurrection, he will meet them there. Jesus returns to his hometown with the desire to proclaim the kingdom to them. But when they reject him, he doesn't call down fire onto them. He doesn't repudiate where he is from. He heals what he can. And he issues the aphorism, the prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown. And that aphorism is part of the core of the Anywheres complaint. The church is called to be prophetic, to proclaim the kingdom of God. What God tells Ezekiel, tell them, thus says the Lord. And whether they hear or they refuse to hear, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Yet, when a prophet from somewhere goes to somewhere, they so desire the honor of their hometown that thus says the Lord usually gets dropped. National prophets are rolled out to proclaim peace when there won't be peace. To bless what should not be blessed, to curse what God has already blessed. And that temptation is huge. Yet Jesus doesn't say to the 12, don't go to your hometown. In fact, in the sending account and other gospels, they are only to go to the villages of Israel. Jesus calls people from somewhere, and he sends them to somewhere. They are the heralds of the kingdom of God. They are also Galileans and Judeans. And it's with Jesus' orders that I think we get our principle for the nations of this age. And it comes in two parts. The first part, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. The church is accepted as the church in a place, stay. As God would say to Israel in exile, pray for the peace of the city to which you have been sent. Your greater citizenship is in the kingdom of God, but that kingdom is not of this world. Here, you're from wherever you are sent that accepts you. Enjoy chanting USA or wave the flag. Recognize the virtues of its heroes. Be from somewhere. Because even eschatologically, you are from somewhere. You're from the kingdom of God. That view from anywhere is ultimately a false one. Yes, all of the somewheres in this age fall short of the kingdom. But their glories reflect the glories of the kingdom, and their faults show forth our need of redemption. That great utopia, anywhere, doesn't help. Its glories are bound to our heads, and it never has any faults that teach us. The second part of Jesus' command might be tougher. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we have to be willing to prioritize that citizenship over the somewheres that we have been placed. Church really is not a national church. The ministerium is not the national prophet corps, because there's a point where the kingdoms of this world cannot accept you. And when that point comes, the Christian must be able to reject even a part of themselves, to shake off the dust that's on their feet. Once you've been from somewhere, you are always a little from there. You can take the boy out of the hometown, but you can't take the hometown out of the boy. Even if you've shaken off the dust, we are still made of dust. We've only shaken off the outer layer. But in baptism, you have been made from the New Jerusalem. That's your true hometown. Fortunately, we're not there yet. And until the day that city comes down out of the heavens, we're from somewhere else as well. Stay there until you depart. But just remember that we will all depart. All the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord. So patriotism is never an ultimate virtue, but it's never less than a virtue. Eventually, the love of country will be unfulfilled. Not when all the colors bleed into one, but when all the nations are blessed through the one Christ, who Abraham saw from afar and trusted his word. Amen.